We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And our text for this morning is verses 15 and 16. Revelation chapter 3 at verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Today has been appointed by our church as a day of humiliation and prayer. Why? For the state of the church and the state of the nation. Think first of the state of our nation. I could mention just a few points. Wherever we look in our nation, we see that there has been a rejection of Christianity. We have Christian foundations as a country. The law of God has been behind the laws of our country. But we have turned away from these things. We have become a secular state. Humanism and atheism has become the order of the day. And of course, along with this unbelief and rejection of God and despising of Christianity, Islam has also come into our country with something like 2 or 3 million followers, and some of them fanatical in their religion. So on the one hand, atheism, secular humanism, and on the other hand, Islam. Something else, blasphemy. Blasphemy is so common in our country. The man on the street blaspheming God. The radio, the television, blasphemy. Blasphemy in Parliament. Wherever you look, the name of Jesus Christ is despised, mocked, ridiculed. God is rejected and blasphemed. Something else. God created the world in 6 days. And then he rested one day. And he laid down a pattern for us. And he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember. For in 6 days the Lord created heaven and earth and all that in them is. And God rested the seventh day. And I demand that you rest. But our country, yes, we used to keep the Sabbath. And we used to be famous for our Sabbath keeping. But today, the Sabbath, it's like any other day. People are busy at their work, busy in the shops, busy in their sport and entertainment. God's day is transgressed. There's something else I'd like to mention. Something that really is the greatest crime that this nation of ours commits. Murder. Murder every day. Thousands been murdered. How terrible it is to think that over 200,000 little innocent children are murdered in this country every year. Every day, thousands of children are being cruelly put to death, and the murderer is not punished. And all that innocent blood is crying out from the ground to God in heaven, saying, avenge, avenge our blood upon that wicked nation that massacred us. Little children with no chance to live. Wicked murderers, you hear of them going around and murdering people in cruel ways, and they're sent to prison for a few years and then they're let off. The murderer goes unpunished when God says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. But oh no, people today, they excuse the murderer and they murder little children in the womb. And now they're talking about murdering old people and sick people and calling it dignity and death and assisted dying and all sorts of things like that. But what is it? It's murder. It's taking away people's lives, destroying lives that God has given. God creates life, he gives life, and God alone is the one who has the right to take it away. Life is precious, it's sacred. It's not to be destroyed. And then you think of the seventh commandment. How God beautifully in the beginning created Adam and Eve and brought them to one another. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. A man and a woman, whom God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And today, what do you see? Adultery on every side. An adultery commended on the television and set before us as such a wonderful, exciting lifestyle. And fornication and homosexuality and lesbianism and every kind of perversion under the sun. It's love. It's love. Is it love or is it lust? Filthy, wicked lust and rebellion against God and the beautiful order that God has given us. Man knows best. We'll do what we like. Who's God to tell us what to do? Our nation, sadly, we have departed far from the Lord. We have gone away from him in rebellion against him. And God has sent to us a pandemic. But there's no repentance. And nobody in positions of power or influence is saying, surely God is speaking to us. It's time for us to humble ourselves, to confess our sins and to return to the Lord. But no, those in high places, they say, well, the scientists will find an answer and we'll have lockdowns and we'll have social distancing and we'll conquer it. And so for the last 2 years, we've had this pandemic. Now there's this Omicron variant come along. The Lord sends it, and there's panic. And they're saying, We've got to stop flights from South Africa, and we've got to introduce masks again in England, and we've got to be concerned about social distancing once more, and we've got to do more vaccines and booster vaccines, and oh yes, we'll conquer it, okay. Well, faith in politicians, faith in science, faith in social distancing, faith in masks, faith in vaccines. But where's the faith in God? Maybe the Lord will decide to send another variant along. And instead of 200 deaths a day, it'll be 200,000 deaths a day. Why not? God is almighty. God is able to do anything. And those who spit in the face of God, God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. God will bring every man and woman into judgment. Let us beware of tempting God. Our nation is in a sad condition. How much we need a day of humiliation and prayer for our nation. You remember the prophets of old, how they prayed and interceded. Men like Daniel confessing not just his own sin, but the sin of the nation. How important it is for us to realize that we're part of the nation and part of this nation that is sinning and upon whom God's judgment rests. But our particular concern and our greatest concern should be the state of the church. And sadly, the state of the church is a very sorry one. Our churches are largely older people and fewer people, declining. Some of us who are a bit older can think back to days when churches were packed with people. And today there's just a little handful here and a little handful there. It looks as if the church is dying out. But not just that. But the Christians in the church. What's the level of Christianity in the church today? The level of spirituality and enthusiasm, is it not very low? Do you not feel in yourself that maybe there was a time when you were much more zealous, much more enthusiastic, but you've left your first love? We used to be more concerned to witness, more concerned to stand for the Lord, more concerned about Christian fellowship, more concerned about serious study of the Bible and prayer. But we've all become so half-hearted, so worldly, so feeble. And we see few conversions. And the power is gone from the pulpit. And there's very, very few training for the ministry. In our own church, it looks like shortly we could have 7 or 8 vacancies. And where are the men preparing for the ministry? And our church is not that unique. The problem is the same across our country. Powerless preaching, few conversions, no revival. The church is lifeless and weak and worldly. Our church today is something like the church in Laodicea. A church that was lukewarm. And God says, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's terrible, isn't it? To think that God would spew out the free church continuing out of his mouth. Will God reject us and the Muslims come in and take over our country and we'll be under Sharia law? And then we'll know all about it. Now you notice about this church in Laodicea that they weren't guilty actually of fornication or adultery like some of the other churches. Neither were they guilty of eating things sacrificed to idols like some of the other churches. Nor were they said to be guilty of having left their first love like one of the other churches. Neither were they guilty of false doctrine like some of the other churches. The heresy of the Nicolaitans had come into some of the churches, but the church at Laodicea was quite orthodox. It was quite right in its beliefs, quite sound, faithful in that sense. There was no immorality going on amongst them, and no eating of things offered to idols. And in fact, they felt quite good about themselves. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art poor and blind and naked, wretched and miserable. So they were thinking they were quite good. And in some ways, superficially, they appeared a really healthy church and everything seemed fine, this Church of the Laodiceans. But it was the church which more than any other, Christ said that he was unhappy with. And he was so unhappy with it that he was sick of it. And he was about to spew it out of his mouth. Christ was angry with this church. He found them loathsome, like lukewarm water on a hot day, and you think you're going to get a glass of cold water, and you're given a glass of water and it's lukewarm and it's yucky. You spit it out. Well, sadly, I fear that that is the state of our own church today, that we've become lukewarm. And not just our church, but I fear other churches in Scotland as well. The state of the church, lukewarm. Well, what I'd like to ask now is, what is so horrible about a lukewarm church? What's so wrong with a lukewarm church? It's neither hot nor cold. And Christ says here, I would that thou wert hot or cold, because thou wert lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He would rather the church be hot. Well, of course, that's clear. That's obvious. He'd like us to be hot about him, hot and full of love and zeal and enthusiasm for the Lord. But it would be better even if you were cold than lukewarm. I always found this a bit of a problem. I preached on this letter quite a number of times in the past. Yet I always found it strange how it was better to be cold than to be lukewarm. How? What does that mean? Well, I had decided to preach on this passage and I was puzzling over this, and a friend in Romania, pastor, sent me a PDF of a sermon by Samuel Davis, preached 250 years ago in America. And it was a sermon, happened to be, in God's providence, a sermon on this very passage. And as I read the sermon, this became plain to me what was involved. To be hot, yes, indeed, that's to be full of love and to be full of zeal for God. But to be cold, well, that's to be not making any profession of faith. It's to be adulterers, liars, blasphemers, and then lukewarm. What was it that made Christ so angry when he was on earth? Why was it that he could sit with publicans and sinners? Why could he say to the woman taken in adultery, "Go away, sin no more. I'm not accusing you either." He seemed to be happier with those who were publicans and sinners and to sit with them. And he said, but the ones he was really angry with were the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. They were the lukewarm ones, the ones who had a profession of religion, who were practicing the religion, but yet were not faithful to God. The pretense religion. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. The lukewarm are the hypocrites. And there's nothing worse than hypocrites. We find Christ on several occasions in the gospel really angry. And on every occasion, he's angry, not with the publicans and sinners, but with the hypocrites. And the problem with the church today is hypocrisy. A show of religion. Going through the motions of religion. But there's no heart. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. We're members of the church. We're elders. We're ministers. We're good people. We fast twice a week. We give tithes of all that we possess. We're not like the homosexuals. We're not like these lesbians. We're not like these transgender people. We don't murder the unborn child. We believe in God. We practice the Christian religion. But is it a sham? A veneer of Christianity? Outwardly looking Christians, but inwardly, what are our hearts like? Do we really love the Lord? Are we zealous for him? Publicans and harlots shall enter the kingdom of heaven sooner than you, Jesus said. I would thou wert cold or hot, but because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Do you feel that challenge? I do. And I should, and so should you. We're so superficial today. Do we realize our need? Are we saying, well, I'm rich and increased with goods and I'm need of nothing? I believe the Bible. And oh yes, it's the authorized version that I've got and I'm really strong on it and I stand by it. And I follow the confession of faith and I believe everything in the confession of faith. And we sing psalms. We're not like others who sing choruses and all sorts of things. We sing the psalms. We're sound. We really practice what's right. We sing the psalms. and we don't have musical instruments, and we don't have bands and things like that. We're good people. And we go to the prayer meeting every week. We're always at the prayer meeting. Not like some churches, we just have a morning service and nothing else. We have our prayer meeting, yes, twice a week. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I give to the Lord's cause. But friends, are we just like the church at Laodicea? Orthodox, believing the right things. No outstanding immorality amongst us. Everything looks fine on the outside, but the heart, where's the love for God? Where's the zeal for his cause? Where's the enthusiasm in worship and service? Do we actually see our sins and grieve over it? We have a day of humiliation and prayer. Is there something that's causing you today to be ashamed before God? Or do you think everything's okay? Have you this morning been confessing your personal sin to God? Your sin, not other people's sins. It's very easy to compare ourselves with others. That's the lukewarm church. That's the Pharisees and the Sadducees comparing themselves with others. But you have to look into your own heart and to see your heart in the light, not of what other people do, but of God's law and of God himself. Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you and despitefully use you. Are we involved in self-examination? Or do we just think, oh well, I'm not that bad. There's plenty in the world worse than me. I'm okay. Are you? Are you really? Or is it just a veneer? Lukewarm Christianity. But I was converted. I was converted 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago. Were you? Are you sure? Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Do you do the will of your Father? Do you have idols? Do you make an idol of your family, your work, your home, your pleasures? Do you worship in spirit and in truth? Do you take God's name thoughtlessly upon your lips sometimes? Do you keep the Sabbath day holy from morning till night? The whole day holy, spent in the public and private exercises of worship, except such time as is spent in the works of necessity and mercy? Do you honour and respect those set over you? Do you love your neighbour and love your enemy? Do you ever lust? Do you ever steal? Avoid taxes? Charge more than you should? Do you ever lie? Deceive? Hypocrisy? Are you covetous, greedy, jealous, proud? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Think of prayer. Every Christian prays. Of course you pray. You pray every day, don't you? But do you really pray? Do you pray in a God-honoring way? Is your prayer acceptable to the Lord? Or is it just words, drawing near to God with your lips and your heart far from Him? If you were invited into the Queen's presence, would you go catching flies or playing with a feather? And yet you come into the presence of God and your mind goes wandering away, does it not? Playing with feathers. How disrespectful that is to God. Almighty, holy God, and you come into His presence. In a trivial and disrespectful way. We are to be aware of a holy, awesome, almighty God and to fear Him. A God who is infinite, just, will in no wise pardon the guilty. In no wise pardon the guilty. A God who will not be mocked. Think of your reading of the scriptures. How do you read the Bible? Do you read through it so often, reading it and not really paying attention? Do you take God's word and this is God speaking to me? This is an epistle written by the Almighty. When you're in church listening to a sermon, are you listening to God? Jesus said to His disciples as He sent them out to preach, "He that heareth you, heareth me." Are you hearing Christ speaking to you today as you listen to me? Or is it just another sermon, just another minister? I like this bit and I don't like that bit. And this other minister, he preaches better. That one's maybe not so good. Sermon tasting. Lukewarm. What about our zeal for the world? Zeal for your work. How hard do you work? Working away for your employer, trying your best, doing this, trying to earn money, getting on in the world, very enthusiastic, but when it comes to God, where's the zeal? Where's the enthusiasm? Busy with your children, busy with your grandchildren, very careful about them, very concerned, very anxious about any sickness that they might have, but what about spiritual things? What about God? Your soul, their souls. Is that the great concern? So busily looking after your home and getting it redecorated, getting this replaced and that replaced, and very much at work looking after your home. But what about the home of your soul? Are you so concerned about redecorating that, getting rid of the stains and the dirt, washing and cleansing the home of the Holy Spirit, because you are the temple of God's Spirit. Do you remember that? God the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And are you looking after the temple of the Holy Spirit, or committing sacrilege by defiling it with sin? What about your hobbies? How zealous are you for them? Your favorite television programs, the things you enjoy doing, whether it be gardening, or whether it be baking or dressmaking, or whether it be music or art or sport or fishing or whatever it might be. How excited are you in your hobbies and your entertainments? Are you similarly and more excited about the Bible and prayer and church and worship and witnessing and serving God? Zeal for the world, but where's the zeal for God? I would that thou wert cold or hot, and because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Think of what Christ did for us. Think of how he came from the joy and bliss and peace and blessedness of heaven into this world and became a servant and suffered in so many ways, tempted by the devil, mocked and ridiculed and despised by people, and then whipped and lashed and buffeted and mocked, nails hammered through his hands and his feet, hung on a cross. He did that for you. He suffered so much for you. And what do you do for him? Paul said, when I think of Christ, and when I think of his cross, when I think of all that he suffered for me, the love of Christ constraineth me. I feel a power behind me forcing me out to preach the gospel in Antioch, in Asia, in Philippi, in Thessalonica, in Athens, in Corinth, in Rome. To me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I spend and I'm spent for Christ because the love of Christ constraineth me. I can't be lukewarm, I can't be half-hearted. I'm excited and enthusiastic because I look at God and I see that God became a man and suffered and died for me on the cross. And what am I doing for him? And he says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Are you? Think of our little lives in this world. How soon they pass. 70 years. What is that? And then eternity. Eternity, eternity, eternity. Forever and ever and ever. Think of the eternity of those in hell, weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth forever and ever. You've seen people cry. Maybe you've cried yourself for days. But oh, to cry forever. Always cry. You've seen people depressed. Maybe you have suffered depression yourself. And this black dog on your shoulder, this horrid black cloud hanging over you, and everything's dark and dismal. But there's a hope that it won't last. And after a while you get out of it. But think of depression that goes on and gets worse forever. Forever and ever and ever. Despair and no escape. The reality of hell. And then think of the reality of heaven. That wonderful place that the Lord has prepared for us. The beauty and the glory. The garden, the mansion. The tree of life and the river of the water of life. Clear as crystal. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the river and on either side of the river, the tree of life bearing 12 manner of fruit. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, no more sorrow or sighing or sadness or pain or suffering. And his name shall be on their forehead, and his servants shall serve him day and night. Forever and ever, and there shall be no night there. The glory of heaven, the beauty of heaven, the Lamb in the midst of the throne, and the Lamb shall lead us to living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes, and we shall be praising him forevermore. Shall we? Are we on the road to heaven? Or on the road to hell? Faith without works is dead. You say you have faith. How does it show? Are you living the life of somebody who's on the way to heaven? Or are you living just like the multitudes who are on their way to hell? I know thy works. These are Jesus' words to the church of Laodicea. I know thy works. I know you. I know everything about you. I know everything you've done since you came into this world. I know every word you've spoken. I know every thought that's come across your mind. Every wicked imagination. Every word you should have said that you didn't say. I know everything you should have done that you haven't done. I know thy works. Are you lukewarm? I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold. Well, cold people make no profession. Cold people, see plenty of them out there. They're living for their work and they're living for their football and they're living for their music and they're living for their drink and they're living for their parties at Christmas time. living for the world, but then they're cold and they make no profession. Publicans and harlots shall enter the kingdom of heaven before you. I know thy works, but thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke. Is God rebuking you today? Is he rebuking me? As many as I love, I rebuke. I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him, and he with me. Christ is knocking at the door today. Thank God he hasn't walked away from us. He's still knocking at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Are you hearing? Will you open the door? Will you take him in? Will you listen to his rebuke? Will you use this day as a day of humiliation and prayer? Repentance. Confession of sin and repentance. And faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I thank God he delivers. I look to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood to wash away my sin. I look to the Holy Spirit to strengthen me with all might in the inner man, so that I would die to sin and live to righteousness. Yes, we need to repent. It's not just people in other churches who need to repent. It's not just the world out there that needs to repent. It's you and me. And God has called you and me to repentance, to faith, and to new obedience. Are we listening? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we lift up our hearts to thee in repentance, in confession of sin. We know, Lord, that we have been lukewarm. Forgive us and help us to turn from our lukewarmness, to humble ourselves before thee and to change, to be different. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst not spew us out of thy mouth. We know, Lord, that there's so much about us that's disgusting. Thou dost know our works. We can hide nothing from thee. But, O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst forgive us, pardon us, renew us, change us, draw us, and we will run after thee. Reveal thyself to us and enable us to receive again, afresh today, to receive and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ offered to us in the gospel. We pray, Lord, for help. Help in the difficult day in which we live. Help, O Lord, when all around us we're seeing men and women despising thee and thy law. And when we see the church so superficial, so frivolous, O Lord our God, have mercy upon us. Do thou return unto us and cause us to return unto thee. Without thee we can do nothing. Be merciful to us, O God. Thy mercy unto us do thou extend. O Lord our God, we put our trust in thee. We cry to thee for salvation. Hear us and help us, Lord. Transform us and make us beautiful with the beauty of holiness. Fill our hearts with the joy of thy salvation. And grant that each one of us would be on fire for Christ, burning brightly. The Lord will light my candle so that it shall shine full bright. The Lord my God will also make my darkness to be light. Forgive us for all sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.